The Talmud is a book, kind of a series of writings, written over a long period of time by Jewish scholars and leaders in the ancient world. And it was a commentary on the Holy Scripture. So it wasn't Holy Scripture, but it was kind of like Martin Luther's writings for us. Very authoritative, though not Scripture. And in the Talmud was a prayer. And whether or not it was exactly written at the same time that Paul wrote Galatians, we don't know. But these ideas were certainly circulating in the ancient world. And the prayer goes like this in the Talmud. Thank you, God. And these were Jewish people writing this, right? Thank you, God, that I'm not a Greek. Thank you, God, that I'm not a slave. Thank you, God, that I'm not a woman. That was the prayer that upstanding Jewish men were taught to pray. Being a Jew, being a man, being free was core identity for people in the ancient world because it granted them all kinds of power and privilege. To be a man meant that you could own land, women, and slaves. To be a Jew meant that you were part of the chosen nation and that you were going to receive the blessing of God, and you knew that you had the right information about how to live life. And being free, being not a slave, meant that you could own things instead of being owned, and you could do things that you wanted to do instead of being told what to do. Thank you, God, that I'm a man, they would pray, that I'm a Jew, and that I'm free, not a slave, not a woman. And into this, Paul says, and you have to understand, this is mind-blowing. This is huge. Into this, Paul says, in Christ, there's no longer Jew or Greek. That old category doesn't matter. In Christ, there's no longer slave or free. That category doesn't matter. In Christ, there's no longer male or female. That category doesn't matter. This is huge! And all the Jewish men are like, what do you mean? I have to share my power with all these people, with women, with slaves, with Greeks? And Paul says, yes. Yes, you do, because it's not those things. It's not being a circumcised man that makes you right with God. It's not being a wealthy slave owner that makes you right with God. It's not being a man that makes you right with God, or a Jew that makes you right with God and following the law, just perfect. Paul says, it's Christ that makes you right with God. And so you don't need to be circumcised anymore. This is the big argument that they're having in Galatians about whether or not they need to be circumcised, because they were teaching some people, they were teaching the men. Men, you have to be just so. You have to be circumcised in order to be right with God. Paul is saying, no, we are free of those shackles. We don't need that anymore, because it's Christ who makes us right with God. It's Christ who justifies us. And we don't need to prove that we're right with God by doing these external things anymore. When I was in fifth grade, I was taught what it meant to be right with God. And whether or not people understood that they were teaching me these things, that's what happened. I was taught how to be righteous, to be right with God as a boy, as a man, in fifth grade. What it meant to be good in the eyes of God and my peers. You see, in fifth grade, I saw a TV show with a male character on there who, for whatever reason, I don't remember, wanted to take dance classes. And in this sitcom, in this TV show, this man was taking dance classes. And I saw that and I thought, that's the coolest thing in the world. I want to take dance classes. I think that's going to be amazing. And so I put on the classical radio station, and, you know, and I'm dancing around my living room and doing pirouettes and, you know, pliés and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought, I'm just having a ball, right? This is just the greatest thing in the world. I love it. And I go to my mom and dad, and I say, Mom and Dad, I want to take dance classes. This is in the summertime. And they're like, yeah, okay, okay. But they signed me up for dance classes, and I took dance classes. We had two dance studios in Alpena, Michigan, 42nd Street Dance and the Dance Company. And I had classes on, I don't know which days of the week, but for an hour and a half. And I took ballet, and I took tap, and I took jazz at both places. And I loved it. It was so fun. I had so much fun. And all my dance teachers loved me because they were like, oh, finally we get to do all the moves with boys. We never got to do. And I got to, like, throw people and pick them up and all this kind of stuff. It was great. I had so much fun. But you know where I didn't have fun? Yeah, you already know, Mike. It was at school. Because eventually people found out that I was taking dance classes. You know, the girls told on me, I don't know. You know, and the boys would tease me. That's wussy stuff. You can't, that's weird. You shouldn't be taking dance class. Why are you taking dance class? I said, I like it. It's fun. Who cares? But that just illustrates, in my mind, the shackles that we put men in. I was thinking about that today for Father's Day. Well, what kind of man I want to be for my son? My dad's dad died when he was 11. What kind of man do I want to be for my son? Because my life is my message. Our lives are our message. So what kind of life do I want to live to tell my son about how to be a man? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a man? Charlie, if I said to you, be a man, what does that mean? Be a man, Charlie. Be a man. Oh, he's like, okay, that's a little too much for me, Pastor Aaron. That's all right, put you on the spot. That's okay. What does it mean, Monty? Be a man.
I'd like to say be yourself.
Yes, but what does the world mean when I say be a man? Be macho. What does it mean, Mike? Large and in charge, yeah. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a man? Be a man. Be responsible, okay. What does it mean, Dick? Be a man. Tough. What does it mean?
Honest.
Honest, oh, that's good, all right. Doug, what does it mean? What does it mean when the world says, be a man, Doug? Doug, be a man. I'm sure.
Be tough.
Be tough. Who? I'm sure people have said that to you. What does it mean, Scott? Be a man. When the world says, be a man, be a man. Macho. Macho, macho man. I want to be a macho man. Anyway. It means large and in charge. Large and in charge. Got to be in control. No crying. No whining. No complaining. Be strong. No sign of weakness. In control. And that's what I was taught. And that's what we were taught. And that's what we're still teaching our boys. Don't show emotion. Don't lose. If you're not the winner, you're not nothing. And you know what that has taught our boys? That they're worthless. Men commit suicide at 3 times the rate that women do. Men who try hard, boys who try hard in school, are called wussies. I don't want to be a try hard. Men, boys graduate from school at half the rate of girls. Those aren't the precise statistics, so don't quote me on that. But look it up. It's less than. Right now in colleges, it's 45 men, 55 women graduating percentage. If you can't be the best, you're nothing. It's the same thing that was going on in Paul's time. You got to be good to be worthwhile. You have to be justified. You have to justify yourself by being strong, by being macho, by being tough. Can't dance, can't be artistic, because that's wussy stuff. You got to be tough. That's what I was taught. But those are lies. Those are lies. Because God, first and foremost, made us humans. Little boys are just as emotive from the age of 0 to 5, 6, 7 as girls are. Crying, laughing, dancing, hugging, kissing, putting their arms around each other. I mean, if you walk into a kindergarten or a preschool, the boys are hugging the girls and, you know, holding hands. And somewhere along the line, we teach them that that's wrong. Why? That's not wrong. And as I showed you in those examples, right? There's other cultures and other places that haven't taught their boys that. And they're doing just fine. But somewhere along the way, we thought, hey, to be righteous, to be good, means you got to do all these things. And Paul reminds us, no, no, no. Because it's not being a man, being large and in charge, being in control that makes you righteous. It's Jesus. So, there's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. And as Alexis reminded us, there's no longer black or white. There's no longer male or female. For we are all one. We are all God's fully human children in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.